Oh, funny cartoon. We'll start things off. I don't know. Everyone in this room has probably felt this way at one point or another. Been through this experience. Give everyone some time to read it. So Andre highlighted pretty well some of the problems. So a lot of this is gonna, some of this is gonna be review. But here I have a little illustration, couple labels. The idea behind getting things to eccentric focus is usually there's some kind of sweet spot in the microscope where everything's been aligned. And sure, you can defocus the microscope to get things back into the right focus, but it's just easier to change the specimens, the stage height here from the tilt axis to bring things back into that same spot. So everyone's used the alpha wobbler in the microscope before, and the idea is that it tilts back and forth, and you just want to minimize the distance that things translate along the bottom there. Get that back. So, and then you also saw that there was a huge shift in defocus. So that's another big part. But first of all, you just try and minimize that change in distance. So you measure in Legendon, it just tilts the stage, measures how far things move, applies a correction, moves the stage back to eccentric height. And this is for most data collection, this is all anyone ever cares about. Now things are at the right height, basically, and you can do small defocus changes to bring them to the right level. But when we were doing RCT, we ran into a different problem, and that was that our stage had been knocked off from the optical axis of the microscope and was no longer going through that. So we noticed that when you tilted, sure enough, the apparent movement of the object has been minimized. This is very small, but the defocus change is still enormous. So what we had to end up doing was just use from this little measurement here, you can figure out how much to shift the beam over using image shift to get it to go through your sample. And this is a nice place to be at. Now, if you have this corrected, the stage always translates along that axis there. So whenever you bring something into the center of the microscope using the stage movement, you're moving it into through the focal plane, the correct focal plane, or approximately close to it. This is another reason why for RCT we decided to simplify. So we only focus once per square. And you already heard someone mention that the defocus of Legendon was too good, I mean, the focus measurement was too good initially, and we had to add the random defocus change. Well, I sort of got around that for now by just saying, just focus once, and that slight variation from the grid will work out. So to use an automated RCT, you have to have a fairly flat carbon. And then the idea is now you're using stage position and it's not accurate, so you have to remember you have to keep moving things to get them to the right position. And if your calibrations are pretty good, you already heard about that, usually it only takes about 2 to 3 moves depending on how far you have to go. So the idea here is that this low mag, you've centered a target, and then when you switch to the high mag mode, this is now centered and in focus in the microscope. So how would the ideal automated data collection work? Well, you would start out with hopefully as low a magnification as you can go to get as wide an area, as low dose, as high signal-to-noise ratio. And you would pick targets in an image like this, a low mag. It could be 0 degrees or tilted. You pick targets, and then you go through and you image all these targets. The microscope is in charge of centering all these targets in the microscope. I mean, Legendon is in charge of centering all these targets in the microscope and taking all the high mag pictures. Now when you tilt it, you have a problem. And you saw the movie, things change a lot in these two images. In fact, a lot of these holes over here aren't even visible over on this side. The positions of things contaminating have moved around. On a grid like this, you could conceivably go through and manually pick the same targets in the same order again, because they're nice. In this case, you're picking the center of holes. But just imagine you were picking like this many targets at low magnification. I don't think anyone's going to track and move and pick these exact same targets in the corresponding plus 45-degree image. So really, a computer needs to be able to do this, figuring out of how things have shifted between the two images. Well, one way to go about it is, so here's an illustration of untilted and a tilted image. Different features, you have targets on this image. If you can just find three correspondences in these two images, you can at least come up with an affine transform. It's like this 3 by 3, in this case, matrix, but there's none. These terms are always 0, 0, 1. So you can get this transform, and then you can just use that for all the other targets to move them over to their corresponding points in the new image. This, of course, is predicated on the fact that You're assuming that the grid is flat and it's trans, but that's a pretty good assumption normally. Now, how does a computer find features in an image to even track? I ended up using this method called maximally stable extremal regions, and you can see it progressing through the image here. So basically what it does is it sorts all the pixels in the image by their intensity value and adds them into the image, and it keeps track of regions as they grow or appear or merge. And as it's doing this, it fits an ellipse to every one of these regions, and that'll become important later. But what you'll see is, like, for each of these regions that it's tracking, you can keep track of how large it is as a function of time. And what you want to do is select time points when it's relatively stable. That means it's a stable. It'll become more apparent later that that's a good characteristic, because that stable feature is likely to be the same in two different images. So, for example, in this, these are the transform being applied to these two images. And what you should really notice here is a lot of the same features are popping up in both images. These holes, the cracks between the holes, the grid square itself, and you can see the ellipses that have been fit to each of these. So at this point, the computer knows the sort of sets of objects it's going to try and match between the two images, but it doesn't really know that this hole is, say, that hole over there. That's the next step. So how do you do that step? Well, it turns out these ellipses provide a very good handle on taking care of this, because let's say we took a region over here, shown in zoom in the inset, and you can see the ellipse that's fit to it there, and the same region over in this other square. And at this point, the computer doesn't know that these are the same. And you can imagine if you tried to use something like cross-correlation to get a score for how well these match, you'd be way, way off just because of the image transform. But what happens is you can always take these ellipses and map them into a same standard unit circle, and the corresponding transformation normalizes this affine difference between the two images. And you can see now they look very, very much the same, and something like cross-correlation would provide a very strong match between these two features. We don't actually use cross-correlation. You can do that. Normally what someone does is try to reduce the dimensionality of these features using PCA or by binning it or something of that sort to make the computation faster. So all in all, this is actually really fast. Finding all the regions, fitting ellipses to it, that's takes on the order of a second maybe for one megapixel image. And then finding the matches between two images might take 5 to 6 seconds while LegendOn's running. So now we know what we want to happen. We picked our targets over here. The computer's going to take all those images, and then it's just going to tilt the microscope and use this technique to track the changes and map the new targets to the new position and just go and center all those and recollect the tilt pairs. And, of course, it knows which target is which, so it takes care of things like Andres mentioned, like the bookkeeping and so forth. So originally, just when we were starting to see if this would work, we just started with grids that were dry, but they were with liquid nitrogen and liquid nitrogen dewar to simulate drift, but good to look at nice, strong features. And so these were some of those initial ones. And then we looked at these cryomesh grids with GrowEL. So these are at 29,000 magnification, and you can see the tilt pairs are pretty good. The overlap is pretty good, especially for these ones. And then you go up to 50,000. So these are sort of like, I cherry pick these. They're sort of the best. You don't always get that good, but it's usually all right. Here's some statistics. In stain, we saw that on Techni 1 with the faster camera, we collect about 1.8 minutes per pair or 2.2 minutes per pair. There's a defocus variation that you see if the grid is, because it's only reasonably flat, and we're assuming that it's flat when we do the single focusing, but it's pretty small for stain. I think it's still not horrible even for ice as long as the grid score is flat. And the overlap's pretty good. So these are just some things. That, I mean, it's not perfect yet, but they're just some things that we're going to do to sort of to get it better and hopefully get it out there in the next version of LegendOn, I guess. So that's it.